Norman.
And now, VOA's International Edition. This is VOA's International Edition. Coming up, cars hit a crowd of pedestrians in Jerusalem, President Obama reacting to the U.S. midterm election, plus Australia boosting efforts to fight Ebola in West Africa. Hello, everyone. I'm Steve Norman. Israeli police say a Palestinian man has driven a car into a crowd of pedestrians in Jerusalem in a deliberate attack that killed one person, injured nine others, including several police officers. The assault followed a clash between Israeli police and dozens of Palestinians who threw rockets at officers near a disputed Jerusalem holy site after Jewish nationalists announced plans to visit the area. Neighboring Jordan recalled its ambassador to Israel to protest what it called unacceptable Israeli raids at the Al-Aqsa Mosque on the Temple Mount, also known as the Harim al-Sharif in East Jerusalem. Jordan's State Minister of Media Affairs is Mohammed al-Momani.
Since early this morning, we've been following the situation in Al-Haram al-Sharif and Al-Aqsa Mosque, and we have seen that more than 200 Israeli soldiers raided and security officials raided the Haram al-Sharif, and this is unacceptable. And therefore, the Jordanian government have taken the decision to recall the Jordanian ambassador in Tel Aviv for consultation, as well as asking our delegation in New York to submit an official complaint to the Security Council for this to be debated at the Security Council level.
Israel briefly closed the mosque at Al-Aqsa last week amid growing unrest after police killed a suspected Palestinian gunman. That happened in a nearby Arab neighborhood. Suspect had allegedly shot and critically wounded an Israeli rabbi who advocates Jewish prayers at the disputed holy place and even the rebuilding of the biblical temple there. U.S. politics now. President Obama held a post-election news conference on Wednesday where he said his work with the newly elected Congress was already underway one day after Republicans gained control of both the House and Senate in midterm elections.
First, I'm submitting a request to Congress for funding to ensure that our doctors, scientists, and troops have the resources that they need to combat the spread of Ebola in Africa and to increase our preparedness for any future cases here at home. Second, I'm going to begin engaging Congress over a new authorization to use military force against ISIL. The world needs to know we are united behind this effort, and the men and women of our military deserve our clear and unified support.
Mr. Obama said administration's core principles remain same after Republicans won election victories. He acknowledged that he is not likely to agree with lawmakers on all of their proposed legislation.
Congress will pass some bills I cannot sign. I'm pretty sure I'll take some actions that some in Congress will not like. That's natural. That's how our democracy works. But we can surely find ways to work together on issues where there's broad agreement among the American people.
President Obama said the elections show that Americans want to see an end to Washington gridlock.
The American people sent a message, one that they've sent for several elections now. They expect the people they elect to work as hard as they do. They expect us to focus on their ambitions and not ours. They want us to get the job done. All of us in both parties have a responsibility to address that sentiment. Still, as president, I have a unique responsibility to try and make this town work. So to everyone who voted, I want you to know that I hear you. To the two-thirds of voters who chose not to participate in the process yesterday, I hear you too.
Asked at that news conference whether the White House would engage in a post-election recalibration, Mr. Obama said he would focus on improving the situation of the American people and not his own ambitions. Presumptive Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky said he will work with Mr. Obama to win approval on international trade pacts and tax reform, and said they agreed in a telephone call to look for issues where they could reach accord. McConnell said one message of the election is that a politically divided government need not result in continued gridlock in Washington.
In Washington, I think there are a lot of people who believe that just because you have divided government, it doesn't mean you don't accomplish anything.
Mr. McConnell, after winning his seat in the Senate on Tuesday night, again spoke about the future.
Friends, this experiment in big government has lasted long enough. It's time to go in a new direction.
House Speaker John Boehner said the Republican-controlled Congress will work on energy and jobs legislation that he says Senate Democrats have been stalling while in control. He said it is time for government to start getting results. Delegation of West African leaders in Burkina Faso trying to defuse a political crisis they say is set off by the departure of longtime President Blaise Compaoré. Presidents of Ghana, Nigeria, and Senegal arrived in Ouagadougou on Wednesday to meet with political and religious leaders, including the country's military-appointed interim president, Lieutenant Colonel Isaac Zida. A VOA reporter on the scene says the head of states have asked politicians, religious leaders, and civil society groups to each name three candidates to lead a transitional government. Burkina Faso's military took control of the country on Friday after Mr. Compaoré resigned, fled the country following violent protest against an effort to extend his rule. And Australia will help staff an Ebola treatment center that in Sierra Leone. Prime Minister Tony Abbott saying a private Australian company will be hired to do all of it. Phil Mercer has our report.
The Australian government will commit up to $17.4 million to the 100-bed Ebola treatment centre in Sierra Leone, which is being built by the United Kingdom. While Australia won't send emergency teams to virus-affected parts of West Africa, it will pay a private health company to staff the clinic. Australia has previously refused to send workers to tackle an epidemic that's killed about 5,000 people in Sierra Leone, Guinea and Liberia. Mr. Abbott now says a deal has been reached with Britain to treat any Australian working in West Africa who becomes infected. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney, Australia.
And many thanks to you, Phil, and everyone else. Those are the stories making news. There's a lot more at voanews.com. And if you find yourself on the internet at Twitter, I'm there at VOA Norman. Listen, everybody, have a nice Thursday.
We check business now on VOA Global. Jim Stevenson along with Ira Melman.
Stocks returned to record levels Wednesday as a rebound in oil prices boosted energy stocks. Stock market on Wall Street also gained after the completion of midterm elections that saw Republicans take control of the Senate. The direction of the stock market has been dictated by swings in the price of oil this week. Energy stocks plunged on Monday and Tuesday and reports that Saudi Arabia was cutting prices for U.S.-bound crude.
You can add another multinational company affected by China's economic slowdown, this time General Motors and its joint ventures. They sold about 291,000 vehicles in China in October. While that was the company's best October in the world's largest auto market, the rate of growth for October 2013 slowed to 2.3%. Shanghai GM's domestic sales rose 5.6% during October. Buick's October sales in China increased 7.9% on an annual basis, but demand for new vehicles is still growing in China. Industry-wide sales expanded at the slowest pace in 19 months.
Well, the battle for smartphone payments isn't just between Apple and the merchants. The carriers aren't about to hand the opportunity to Apple either. SoftCard, a joint venture between AT&T, T-Mobile, and Verizon, just launched a free app for Windows phones, in addition to its Android app that allows consumers consumers to pay for goods by simply tapping their phones on the wireless pad available at many retailers. What makes this payment solution different from Apple Pay and Google Wallet is that SoftCard works on not just one type of device, but on both Windows and Android. Additionally, unlike Apple Pay, which requires the purchase of an iPhone 6, which sells for more than $600 in some places, SoftCard users can use their existing phones in many cases.
Everybody's watching Alibaba, so are the analysts. Rising costs are nothing to worry about, they say, upon issuing a wave of bullish notes on the company. That's business news on VOA Global.
And stocks jumped back into record territory Wednesday after Republican Party secured control of the U.S. Senate for the first time in 8 years on Tuesday.
We have American Cafe coming up. Ira, we know you've got a good one for us, followed by David Birds now here on VOA Global.
I'm Ira Melman in the American Cafe. Like other Americans around the country, New Yorkers went to the polls Tuesday to cast their vote in the midterm elections. While this was not a presidential election year, they had the opportunity to sound off on issues of importance to them. VOA's Adam Phillips went to a polling station in Midtown Manhattan and asked a random sampling of people how they voted and how they felt about the elections overall.
On an unseasonably warm Election Day morning, a man named Horace bounds up the steps of a polling station, having just cast his vote and evidently feeling pretty good.
My experience today was very pleasant. It was very quick. It doesn't mean too much to me as a midterm election, not so much going on. Except for this governor, I think, is important. Other than that, pretty neutral on the whole deal.
What about the actual process of voting? I mean, even though it's a midterm, do you get a little bit of a thrill, or is it just kind of a pro forma exercise?
No, I get a real bang out of it. Besides paying your taxes and doing jury duty, that's pretty much all this country asks of me. It's a pretty good deal.
Voter Sylvia Barrison says she made a point to vote because she feels many everyday New Yorkers are getting a pretty bad deal.
What matters to me is jobs for all the people who are still without jobs. A Congress that might actually do something and pass bills that would help expand opportunities for people, and closing of the ridiculous gap we have in our country from people who make a fortune versus those who make barely enough to live on, and that widening gap.
Barrison says a high point in her experience as a voter came in 2008 when she voted for Barack Obama for president for the first time.
That was a big thrill. It felt like finally all the work done in the 60s and 70s came to fruition with a president that actually looked like and sounded like the America that I care about. And here we are, so next time we're voting in a woman.
Brian Feuer, a Natalie-dressed money manager from the other end of the political spectrum, is about to cast his vote.
And I'm here to fulfill my civic duty.
What does it mean to you? I mean, can you tell us for our foreign listeners a little bit what that civic duty actually means, kind of in the heart?
Democracy is an important thing. People around the world fight for it on a daily basis. We enjoy it. It's easy to be lazy and let it go. You've got to take time out of your day once every year and get out there and fulfill your pledge not only to yourself but to your country.
Whatever the result, America's democracy, which someone once dubbed the least worst form of government, seems, for today at least, to be working quite well indeed. Adam Phillips, VOA News, New York.
Republicans did gain control of the U.S. Senate in Tuesday's elections. Mike O'Sullivan examines what effect one race in particular might have had on the balance of power in Washington.
Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell turned back a strong challenge from Democrat Allison Lundergan Grimes in Kentucky. Late Tuesday, Grimes consoled her supporters in a concession speech.
While tonight didn't bring us the result that we had hoped for, this journey, the fight for you, it was worth it.
McConnell pulled ahead only in the final days of the campaign to win a sixth term after a hard-fought and bitter race. He told supporters that the election was not about him or his opponent.
It was about a government that people no longer trust to carry out its most basic duties, to keep them safe, to protect the border, to provide dignified and quality care for our veterans. a government that can't be trusted to do the basic things because it's too busy focusing on things it shouldn't be focused on at all.
Attention will now shift to Washington as the new Congress is sworn in January. Mike O'Sullivan, VOA News, Los Angeles.
American Cafe is available on air and online 7 days a week at voanews.com and as a podcast on numerous platforms. In the American Cafe, I'm Ira Melman.
Hi, everyone. I'm David Byrd, and here's what's happening now. Comedian and actor Ben Stiller and acclaimed director Noah Baumbach combine on a new film, While We Were Young, about an aging documentary filmmaker and his wife who meet a dynamic young couple. Stiller plays Josh Shrebnick, a New York-based documentarian who never quite succeeded as much as he thought he would. He is 10 years into working on his magnum opus and has hit a creative logjam. Josh and his wife Cornelia, played by Naomi Watts, have tried to start a family and have not been able to. Josh, who is 44, is haunted by the feeling that something is missing. Adam Driver plays Jamie, a young and spontaneous artist who, along with his girlfriend Darby, played by Amanda Seyfried, are ready to drop the boring, everyday pursuits of life to go after whatever strikes their fancy. Eventually, Jamie and Darby's dreams collide with Josh's film to the point of involving Josh's celebrated filmmaker father-in-law, played by Charles Grodin. That sends Josh into a tailspin that culminates in a dramatic confrontation with Jamie. The film was written and directed by Noah Baumbach, who is best known for his autobiographical films Kicking and Screaming, and 2005's The Squid and the Whale, for which he was nominated for 3 Golden Globes and an Academy Award. While We Were Young premiered at this year's Toronto Film Festival, where Ben Stiller told the Associated Press that working with Baumbach made him bring out things that made him a better actor.
I mean, I feel, yeah, working with a director like Noah, he's interested in different things, not just the joke. He's interested in the character, and he's interested in the movie being what he sees in his head, which is something I don't quite understand, which I like. I like working with a director where you don't quite see it the same way as they do, but yet you come together on enough stuff.
Baumbach, who is known for his meticulous precision, once took 55 takes just to get a scene right. He's the son of film critics Georgia Brown and Jonathan Baumbach. Stiller, who also worked with Baumbach on 2010's Greenberg, says that Noah's attention to detail helps make his films extraordinary.
That's what's fun, is what, you know, just he'll do like 20 or 30 takes. And you go, why is he doing all these takes? And he never tells you why he's doing them, but, you know, he's waiting for something to happen or whatever it is. And it's fun to have, as an actor, it's fun to have that many chances and to explore it that much. It almost becomes like a play or something.
Naomi Watts plays Cornelia. She said that she was thrilled with the opportunity to work with both Ben Stiller and Noah Baumbach.
Both incredibly talented, very brainy people. The script, Noah's dialogue is really some of the best there is on screenplays. It just felt so truthful, and Ben underplays everything. He's such a funny but subtle actor. It's really great to work with. I learn a lot from both.
Adam Driver, who last worked with Baumbach on 2012's Francis Ha, says that he jumped at the chance to work with the writer-director again.
Sure, he just gets better, better and better. I just think that he is, one of the greatest directors that is alive, and we work with him on anything, to a Colgate commercial. I'd do it with him.
Amanda Seyfried plays Darby, as I mentioned, and she says that normally she's not really excited about walking the red carpet at film festivals. But she told the Associated Press in Toronto she was very excited about being there for this film.
Normally this red carpet stuff is like, it's just such a thing to get through. I don't like to speak, and I always second guess what I say, but I'm so excited because I haven't seen it. Normally I've seen my movie, so I'm just like going to do this. But now I'm doing this, and then I get to go like watch a movie that I did a year ago with Naomi.
While We Were Young also stars former Beastie Boy Adam Horowitz and Maria Ditzia. Is this another Baumbach autobiography? Well, it could be. The filmmaker just turned 45. So what do you think? Do you plan to see While We Were Young? Are you a fan of Ben Stiller? How about Naomi Watts? Well, let us know your thoughts by visiting our Facebook page, VOA Asia. And you can always email us your questions or comments by addressing them to voaasia@voanews.com. That's what's happening now. Until next time, I'm David Byrd.
And next time will be tomorrow at this same time. Coming up on VOA Global, by the way, I'm Ira Melman along with Jim Stevenson. Japan has made a decision because they did not like the way their football team played in the World Cup. So who pays the price for bad performance?
I don't know. Japan?
No, it's the coach. That's it. Simple as that. We do indeed check sports here. Japan's performance in the World Cup has led to a coaching change. Former Mexico boss Javier Aguirre has been appointed as the new head coach of Japan. The 55-year-old Mexico City resident replaces Italian Alberto Zaccheroni, who resigned earlier this month after failing to guide the Blue Samurai into the knockout stages of the World Cup in Brazil.
Well, also out is Rafael Nadal. We told you a couple days ago that he was undergoing surgery to remove his appendix. He has now been released from a hospital in Barcelona. He said everything went well. It was simple surgery. Well, that's easy for him to say. Nadal gave no timetable for his return to tennis, saying that he would start training after he had recovered fully. The Spaniard attempted to play through suspected appendicitis last month. He tried to treat the condition with antibiotics before opting for surgery.
It's kind of hurt. Roger Federer, Andy Murray, and the Bryan Brothers, good album, were among the winners of the ATP World Tour Awards. Federer was selected by his peers as winner of the Stefan Edberg Sportsmanship Award for a 10th time. Murray receives the Arthur Ashe Humanitarian Award for his involvement in fundraising exhibitions and campaigns. And Bob and Mike Bryan take the doubles award, and they've done that for the past 6 years.
We suspect there are a few of you out there who follow U.S. sports and the National Football League in particular. Tony Romo missed the Dallas Cowboys' first practice in London Wednesday, but head coach Jason Garrett said he's optimistic his quarterback may recover from a back injury just in time to start in a game against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Let's take a look at some of the NBA scores. Milwaukee beat Indiana on Tuesday, 87-81. Washington over the New York Knicks. Chicago beat Orlando. Portland over Cleveland. Toronto beat Oklahoma City. New Orleans over Charlotte. And Phoenix down the Los Angeles Lakers.
That's sports on VOA Global.
Now let's look at what's happening on the music scene. So much is happening this week. Legendary rock group Kiss will begin a 9-show residency in Las Vegas. Kiss Rocks Vegas will be staged at the Hard Rock Casino and Hotel through November 23rd.
Well, Ira, you may have this CD or even the vinyl album at home. Songs in the Key of Life, of course, by the legendary artist Stevie Wonder. He's kicking off his 2014 Songs in the Key of Life tour November 6th at New York's Madison Square Garden. And he's going to perform his 1976 double album in its entirety. That should be really good. The album sold 10 million copies in the United States. It produced several hits, including Isn't She Lovely, I Wish, and, of course, Sir Duke. The 11-city North American tour will wrap up in Oakland, California, December 5th. And just to give you a taste of it, here's Stevie Wonder's Sir Duke.
Sir Duke.
to sing, dance, and clap their hands. Well, just because the record has a groove, don't make it in the groove. But you can tell right away in Dr. A when the people start to move.
Called a cold ending, Ira.
That it is. I also wondered through many years how many times he said, "You can feel it all over." One day I'm going to count it. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, what else is happening in the entertainment world? A new musical called On Your Feet opens on Broadway, and it opens Wednesday. The show is based on the life and music of 7-time Grammy winner Gloria Estefan and her husband. This happens all the time. The difference between Australia and Austria. It got Ban Ki-moon, the UN Secretary General. Slip of the tongue, not amused in Austria. He, after 20 minutes into his news conference, he apologized for thanking the people in Australia. He was talking about Austria.
Oops.
Yeah, that it happens. And, you know, they sell T-shirts in Austria and Vienna. It shows a picture of a kangaroo, a circle and a cross and, against it, and it says there are no kangaroos in Austria. So,
well,
just don't do
that
it.
That happens once in a while. At least he didn't play the wrong national anthem. We've heard that before at some sporting events.
That we have. Again, this let us explain to you who we are, what we're doing with Jim Stevenson. I'm Ira Melman, and we try to do this every day, and we keep trying to do this every day, and hopefully you are with us every day to hear what we are trying to do. And it is an hour-long program, and it also is, you can break it up if you'd like. as the Voice of America might very well do. Yes.
Yeah, it has a lot of our favorite programs that we've condensed into 5 and 8 minute segments and other times as well. You can download them all as podcasts. Just go to our website at voanews.com. And as always, we'd like to hear from you as well. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Weibo, and you can write to us at voaasia@voanews.com. We have some credits, Ira.
Tracy Carter is our director. Diane Gao is our executive producer. Zubir El-Tayyab and Keith Holmes have been behind the controls trying to figure out what we're going to do next. Have yourself a great day.
Bye.